T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joined now on the phone by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And Bobby, welcome into the show, buddy. It's great to have you. Thanks for spending some time with me.
Yeah, Zach, thanks for having me on. And I know you dudes got to be chomping at the bit to be able to watch competition, right? To get ready for the season. Boy, it's here.
We are pretty excited, man. We have our second testing date on Sunday, and then we will be into practice on Monday. It'll be good to get to finally see something. No question.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. You know, hopefully. Now, right. Steve Geller had sent me that Deontay Harris, is he now on the COVID list? My understanding?
Yeah, Deontay Harris he was placed on the COVID list today. Now, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that he tested positive for COVID. It can also be an exposure. So a family member or somebody. And if you remember, most recently, Caden Ellis and Zach Wood.
That's the D-stabber, yeah.
Pitcher, sorry. I don't know why I'm struggling with that. But, Zach Wood and Caden Ellis had tested, and they returned after a couple of days. I think one might have been a false positive and another was an exposure case. So we don't know exactly why, but he did get put on the list today.
Yeah, and you're going to have that, and you don't want it to come in handfuls or handfuls plus, so to speak. If you have, I think every team is going to be dealing with this, and the game must go on. I think that's where we're at right now.
Yep, absolutely, and that's certainly what you've heard around the league is we just can't have breakouts. Guys are going to test positive. It's if you can contain it, and so far they've done a good job of it, which I think is promising. So. Bobby, I wanted to talk with you. The last time we got a chance to speak, we talked about the Big Ten canceling their schedule, the Pac-12 following suit. And since then, there's been a lot of back and forth, and essentially all the Big Ten teams have conceded now that there's not going to be any form of football for them in the fall. But earlier, I believe yesterday, Jeff Brohm, who's the head coach of the Purdue Boilermakers, released a proposal for a calendar that involves two seasons in 2021, an 8-game spring season that would begin at the end of February and then a 10-game season in the fall with a delayed start back to October. And quite honestly, it's by far the most extensive proposal that anybody has really seen publicly. Now, I don't know what they've discussed internally, but it does involve the entire year's calendar, when guys would be off, what the practice rules would look like. It's a pretty interesting and extensive proposal and something that, might spark some discussion.
Yeah, spark some discussion, and you'd want it to come not necessarily from a head football coach in college, but maybe how about the commissioner or something. I know they're definitely going to look at this, but good for Jeff Brohm being proactive. If you look, Zach, he calls for an 8-game season in the spring and a 10-game season next fall, a reduction in padded practices and much-long breaks from the sport between seasons. Now, the plan calls for teams to report January 16th for 2-week training camp before progressing to 4 weeks of practice with 2 mandatory off days each week and only 2 padded practices each week, so you can see the paying attention to detail. 8 conference-only games will be played from February 27th to April 17th, with no bye weeks before 4 or 6 team playoff in May. And then most players would then get a 3-month respite from mandatory workouts before pre-camp work would begin for the fall season, July the 19th. Now, the season would be 10 games from October the 2nd to December the 11th with one open day per team and one padded practice per week. A playoff would be held the first 2 weeks of January. That's at least a man with a plan. You know, I think that's what fans want to hear, some light at the end of the tunnel. Now, critics might contend, college players should not be playing up to 22 games over an 11-month period. And, yeah, you have to look at that because it's not going to be perfect. But we don't know what's going to happen as far as college football in the fall. But I thought at least that was a plan that looked fairly reasonable considering the circumstance if you would have a spring season and a fall season. But right now we're hoping that SEC, ACC, and Big 12 can go forward with a fall schedule. And I think I'm going to be optimistic. I think that's going to be the case. But at least good for Coach Jeff Brohm of Purdue, Drew Brees' alma mater. That's showing a vision and being proactive. And you just want more of the leaders, whether it's from an NCAA perspective or even a commissioner perspective, to have these kind of ideas and put it for the public.
You know, Bobby, one of the other aspects of this that I think will be interesting is, you know, we're in a climate where there's been a lot of discussion amongst college athletes of organizing or creating a players association. And, you know, there's a lot of things in here that you could certainly look at and say he's essentially acknowledging some of the health and safety factors that exist in college football that need to be addressed. At the bottom of this, the bottom of this proposal, there's a couple of pages of health and safety factors. And right. Some of them are on COVID and, you know, those are obviously of the time and not necessarily of the future, but they talk about complete rest period, something that's not real common in college football. The part that really stood out to me, significantly less padded practices for a 2-season period. They list the totals that they're allotted, that they're allowed. A bowl team in college football is allotted 144 total padded practices in a 2-year period. In this situation, there would be 64. Now, that's a substantial difference.
That's a substantial difference. And Zach, you know, when you even look at past seasons, that when you look in the month of like December, you know, once the season was over and you're getting ready for the bowl game, it was almost in December, a lot of guys maybe trying to get some experience. It was almost like August. I mean, I should say, August and December as far as the competition. And, how do you get better playing football? I don't know. You still got to tackle. You got to block. But I think you're going to see more of the route of more time off for players and more controlled atmosphere as far as how they're going to conduct these practices.
Yeah, and listen, I think that his points here are well made. It's extremely – I invite you to search that and seek it out because it really is it's pretty extensive. It's 7 pages long. He talks about weather and the issues that could come up with weather playing some of those early spring and later season games as you move the season back. There's a full list of the statistics, the padded practice analysis, and how that will help and benefit guys. And I think most importantly, acknowledges in a bunch of places, yes, this is more games, you know, per month than they would otherwise be playing, but it's not a lot more. 1.6 right. games per month in a typical 2-season period. This is 1.8 games per month. It's not tremendously more. And when you think about an 8-game and a 10-game schedule, national championship teams are playing 15 games a year now.
You know, yeah, just look at LSU.
It's a substantial amount of football. Yeah, it's a substantial amount. So pretty interesting. I just thought it was worth bringing up and certainly tremendous as far as, you know, the ability to have an argument or have a conversation about what could be possible. And I give Jeff Brohm a lot of credit for that because it really seemed like the conference made a pretty dramatic and quick decision. Considering 2 days earlier they had released their their changed schedule 48 right. hours after releasing their new schedule, they canceled the season. So just interesting. And the other thing, Bobby, and I told everyone before we jumped on, I wanted to ask you about is the two tight end contracts that were just signed, George Kittle and Travis Kelce. George Kittle takes a 5-year, $75 million contract, which included $30 million in guarantees. And then Travis Kelce, I don't think it was 12 hours later, might have even been earlier than that, signed a 4-year extension, $57 million, average of $14 million a year, with $28 million in guarantees. And to give you a little bit of an idea of how stagnant that market has been, Jimmy right. Graham's contract with the Saints was just beaten this offseason by Austin Hooper by $500,000, $10.5 a year. Jimmy Graham, 4-year, $40 million contract. Austin Hooper gets 10.5 a year, and then just a couple of months later, that market is completely reset by the two most productive guys, George Kittle and Travis Kelce, at $15 million and $14 million a year.
Right. Well, Zach, when I look at that, I think the fans have no problem. I haven't heard anyone say, like, oh, why are they paying George Kittle all that? Or why are they paying Travis Kelce? Even from their peers. For instance, we all know who Dee Ford is. Dee Ford was outstanding when he was with the Chiefs, how he could sack the quarterback. And bottom line, this is how he described his teammate. He said, Kittle is Kittle. He's a beast. He's the best blocking tight end, best catching tight end, best tight end in the league, hands down. Now, I think why he has the edge over Travis Kelce, because he can run block. And, Zach, I noticed plays last year for George Kittle. They running behind him. You know, you might have a road grader. Remember how when Carl Nix and Jairi and all that, you're running behind him. And you know that along the offensive line. Well, that was a strength as far as a tight end. It was almost like a glorified tackle as far as his run block and how they'd run behind him. So good for Kittle. And you look at it, what a great story. Had been one of the NFL's biggest bargains in history. He was drafted in the fifth round in 2017. Now we don't know. We got to see what he can do. But what if Adam Trautman would turn out to be a poor man's George Kittle, considering where we drafted him? I heard he's a complete tight end. He got a complete game. So not how he's going to stretch the field vertically and all that, but I'm interested to see, because to be described that he has a complete game already now, he's at Dayton, now he has to do it in the NFL, but that's what separates George Kittle. It's just his run blocking. He just dominates people, and boy, you know how that helps any running game, and I know Sean Payton is aware of that.
Yeah, and you know, there's no question George Kittle is not just a good blocker. He's an elite blocker in the National Football
right.
League. And you can find example after example of him doing that, and that is not an easy thing to find in today's game. It seems to be you are a run-blocking tight end or a receiving tight end, and there's not a lot of guys that do both things. Obviously, you know, Rob Gronkowski, the most recent example of a guy that can do that, but he's not that player anymore after all the injuries that he's had. So certainly I think a well-deserved contract. And another big contract, I'll tell you, the San Francisco 49ers, for a team that went to the NFC Championship last year, have made a lot of moves this offseason. A lot of guys coming and going, getting guys re-signed. Their wide receiver position was completely overhauled. Obviously the Saints signing Emmanuel Sanders, and you know, it was vital for them to keep George Kittle in the mix. And I think they see him as a guy, obviously, that has an elite receiver type skill set at the position, and we're willing to pay for it. It's not every day you see a position's highest average per year contract broken by 50%, Bobby.
Yeah, that is unheard of, but these are unusual players. I think him and Travis Kelce, to me, it's like 1 and 1A. You look at Kelce, a two-time All-Pro guy, and they wanted him to be around. They know Pat Mahomes is going to be around, so they're going to keep him, I know, through 2025. And they just coming off a Super Bowl. But you just look at the production. Like, I'm looking at Kittle, right under 3,000 yards receiving over the past five seasons, the most by any tight end in league history and during that time, that same time frame. And Kittle is right there with them. You know, he said in 2018 he broke the NFL record for most yards receiving in a season, that being Kittle, right under 1,400. So you got Travis Kelce and George Kittle. I can tell you this. If Travis Kelce or George Kittle had a chance to play for the Saints, I think Mickey Loomis would have no problem paying them, those guys, around $15
million. Yeah, I don't think that he would. They're certainly worth it. I also think it's worth noting, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, in a year that they went in just March, had $171 in cap space, have since been able to sign Patrick Mahomes to the largest contract in American sports history, Chris Jones to one of the top defensive line contracts in NFL history, and now Travis Kelce to the second most that a tight end has ever been paid in history.
And if you need
any more examples of how the cap can be manipulated, look no further.
Yeah, that's what I was going to – Zach, say that again. Not $171,000.
$171.
You almost think that's a misprint. Like, what?
And to be able
to get those contracts done.
That's the type of accounting we wish we could all do, right? Don't you wish you could stretch $171 into $800 million in contracts, right?
Right, right. Well, Mickey Loomis has always done a great job with that, whether you
got
to pay the piper eventually. But look how he's manipulated the cap, because we've heard in past off seasons, oh, what are the Saints going to do? They have no cap space. But maybe the Chiefs are learning something from Mickey Loomis and his playbook.
And listen, a lot of this also had to do with Patrick Mahomes and his contract. As much as the total value of that contract was worth, to put into perspective just how much money Patrick Mahomes allowed the team to move to the back end of his contract, over the next 3 years, Patrick Mahomes is going to be making less money than Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, and you know, Bobby, what? That's shocking. That's shocking, Zach. But you know what I think, Pat Mahomes, you look at the stability, and he likes what they got going on with the Chiefs. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I thought he should have, you know, set a 10-year deal, a 5-year deal, and still could have been rewarded. But I guess he looked at that security, and he don't have to worry about, he knows he has $150 million guaranteed. So I think we all could do a lot with $150 million guaranteed. You could be a free spirit and just play. And so I think he took that stability of that guarantee versus maybe, you know, cutting that deal in half. And, you know, ultimately, let's say instead of $150 million guaranteed, he could have got $250. But it's still the stability. I think that's why he did that.
He will not, Bobby, make more money than Joey Bosa after his contract until the fifth season of that contract. It's just interesting what they were able and how they were able to get Patrick Mahomes under contract.
What did he get, $102 million guaranteed?
Well, his contract was $135 million. I believe in guarantees it was upwards of 80, which is substantially more than what Patrick Mahomes was at signing. So, you know, again, I think the more you go and look into that contract, obviously, Patrick Mahomes finishes that contract. It's a whole lot of money. And obviously, the contract that he wanted to sign and felt comfortable signing. But I can assure you there was a lot of money left on the table for Patrick Mahomes to sign the contract that he did.
And Zach, I wanted to bring this up. Another Big Ten player, Steve had sent me this, Steve Geller. I think he passed his physical. I think he's a football player. Look at Michigan State linebacker Joe Bashy. He's a 3-year start at Michigan State. He just seems like he has a nose for the football. We talk about the linebacker position. I think now what he's going to do in special teams ultimately is going to be the deal there. But, you know, you're always trying to get younger. And I'm looking at 285 career tackles, 27 and a half tackles for loss, 5 forced fumbles, 5 interceptions. He was the team captain his senior year. And we all know, I think that's why he didn't get drafted. He was suspended for the final 5 games of his senior season for testing positive for a supplement the Big Ten classified as a performance enhancer. Well, he was performing on the field and very active and just seems like a tackling machine and knows for the football. When you induce, when you're out there, you got to give a report on Mr. Joe Bashy and how he looks, as because we always find those diamonds in the rough, we know, in free agency.
Well, we will make sure and report back to you, Bobby. I will take copious notes at the Saints camp on Monday before you can get out there. But, yeah, listen, that's also a position that I think the Saints are trying to get younger at, that they know they need some depth at. Obviously, the move to draft Zach Bond this year, but with the injuries that they've had at the position, as well as the age of the guys who have been healthy, guys like Craig Robertson and DeMario Davis,
right.
It's certainly a position that I think there is there is no question that there is room for some depth added to that position group. So, Bobby, man, we appreciate the time. Enjoy talking with you as always, and we'll catch up with you next week sometime.
Yeah, looking forward the beginning of next week to talk to you and Deuce and just talk about competition and what you see out there. So have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.